comes from Zurich Insurance, providing risk management and insurance solutions to help businesses meet their ever-changing needs. Learn more at ZurichNA.com.
WCVE Public Radio, you're listening to Morning Edition. Brian Ford joins us now from RBC Wealth Management for his regular Monday analysis of the business and financial news. Good morning, Brian.
Hi, Wayne. Welcome to May.
Yeah. Well, the April jobs report came out Friday, much better than expected, more jobs created than anyone had expected. The unemployment rate went down. We'll talk more about that in a bit. Mm-hmm. And the stock markets responded by hitting an all-time high. Wow. What's not to like?
Yeah, I would agree. I think it was generally a pretty solid week for stocks overall. The sell in May and go away strategy that we've been talking about the past couple weeks has not materialized yet. Obviously, there's still time. It's just the sixth of the month. But you're right, new highs, especially for the Standard & Poor's 500. And also notice that Japan continues its blistering pace this year of stimulus and trying to reinflate their economy. Europe has also been unusually quiet lately, which has helped investors feel a little bit more comfortable. You know, when Europe is going through its spasms, it creates a lot of anxiety. An interesting development I've noticed over the past week, Wayne, is that U.S. banks have really picked up their issuance of what is called preferred stock, which has a higher ranking than common stock in priority, about $15 billion this year, which is much higher than previous years. Why? Well, kind of simple. Investors still want yield in this low interest rate environment, and these preferreds usually average about 5% or so, and banks are getting healthier too. Interesting that these preferreds do not have maturities like typical bonds, so they keep getting called away. So that's an interesting development on the U.S. bank front, so stay tuned on that. This week we have a pretty light economic calendar. Earnings continue, but not as heavy as last week, and we'll be watching things like inflation data from China and also consumer credit reports here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get back to that jobs report.
Sure.
More jobs created not only in April than had been expected, but also the February and March reports were updated to show that more jobs were created in those months than had been reported.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think you hit a nail on the head earlier when you said the April report came out better than expected. That's also very important to watch the expectations. But you're right. For April, 165,000 new jobs created, big revisions up to February and March reports. That's very strong. That brings the rolling six-month average of jobs to about just over 200,000 new jobs per month for the last 6 months. That's solid. However, it's still a little bit below the 250,000 jobs per month that economists say is really necessary to have the economy grow more than about 2% per year, sort of that status quo. The official unemployment rate ticked down a little. A couple of areas to watch in the report, Wayne. The number of sectors showing growth is declining, which suggests sort of a thinning of the ranks. And overall economic output was down a little bit. There was also a noticeable pickup in the numbers of part-time workers, which may suggest that small business owners are preparing for the effects of the Affordable Health Care Act this year. You may know that employers they do not have to cover part-time employees, which some economists say may hold back full-time hiring for some time. The effect of the jobs report that was felt immediately, stocks indexes jumped around the world, cash came off the sidelines, and investors generally sold off some government bonds, which pushed 10-year government bond rates up. Commodities like copper also got a big boost because the feeling is when hiring picks up, construction picks up, and the need for raw materials does too. Bottom line here, Wayne, the jobs report remains one of the most watched economic and political data points for the Federal Reserve, the president, and business owners, and it currently does not signal any kind of recession on the horizon.
Hmm. Just a little over 2 minutes to go. Well, the Berkshire Hathaway Corporation had its annual meeting, I believe, in Omaha, Nebraska,
yep,
the hometown of its leader, Warren Buffett.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you always keep a close eye on Buffett and his company. Is by the way, Berkshire Hathaway now has a local footprint mm-hmm. as owner of the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
Yes.
But Buffett continues to be a highly respected investment sage, right?
Definitely. This event, the annual Berkshire meeting in Omaha, is called the Woodstock for Capitalists. And
mm-hmm.
I guess we're dating ourselves when we keep talking about Woodstock, Wayne.
Yeah.
But it's a very big deal. Warren Buffett, who is now 82 years old and recovering from prostate cancer, spent a good bit of time this week in assuring investors that he and his board have figured out the succession planning for his company. That's been a big source of concern for shareholders since Buffett has been CEO since 1965. That's incredible. Here's a sampling of what Buffett had to say this week. And number one, he remains appalled at the political gridlock in D.C. and how dysfunctional everything is. I say join the club, my friend. He believes that when the Fed finally does give a hint that it will stop its grand experiment in stimulus spending, that will have a dramatic impact on the bond markets globally immediately. He didn't say how, but he did say, you know, big impact. Buffett says he's still gunning for big acquisitions since his cash level is still about $20 billion. And Wayne, you referenced the fact that he continues to buy up small and regional newspapers like our own Richmond Times-Dispatch. And he also bought Heinz last year. That was a big purchase. Buffett says he's bullish on America and stocks in general. He reiterates that he has no clue as to where things are going for the next week or month or year. He doesn't predict that. Also, Berkshire Hathaway has diversified their revenue. So now only about a third of their business is in traditional insurance. It used to be a lot more than that. So the bottom line here is on Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway, still going strong at 82 and still very respected by his investor base.
Okay, Brian, our time is really gone for today, so I don't have time to ask you any other questions, but I'll talk to you again next Monday morning at this time. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Brian Ford's report is not a research recommendation for any particular company and does not provide legal or tax advice. This is WCVE Public Radio.
On a Monday, this is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green. It has been years and billions of dollars, and the project to widen the Panama Canal is